Well, hello everybody. Welcome to this little time where Chris, David and I are going to have a chat about what we've just heard. Chris, thank you so much for opening the word for us so well. Thank you for starting this sermon series, helping us to think about ourselves and about our Lord, particularly in light of all the plans that we make and how we should be thinking about him in light of them. I found it really helpful. I found myself agreeing with you all the way through in principle, going, yeah, absolutely. And yet, I also had a look at my own heart and realized, and why, if I agree in principle, do I find myself getting so upset or annoyed or disappointed when my plans don't work out the way I want them to? Can you help me, mate? What's going on in my heart if I agree in principle and yet my heart's all messed up like this?
Yes, Dave, that's only you. No, I think that's everybody. I think what happens is, even when James was writing that, a number of the things he says, it seems like probably just about everyone would agree with. Yeah, we all know our life's brief and all those things, but the way we speak and the way that we act often is different. One of the things that helps me think about that is, I know I'd say, yes, God's in control. All my plans are in his hands and all those things. But it is when I notice the way that I react when something doesn't go the way I planned, or a plan is foiled, doesn't work out, and I observe the reactions in myself, it's then that I start to think, actually, underneath my yes, I agree, there's something else going on. Underneath there's the sense that, oh, I should have my plans work out rightly, or God's plans should be the same as mine, or if God understood things truly, he would think the same as me on this. So I think actually noticing that about yourself and taking seriously and taking notice of your reactions to plans not working out and losing control of things is really helpful for then asking, okay, in prayer, asking the Lord, help me to see what's really going on in my heart underneath my yes, I agree, Lord. What's actually going on under that?
Thanks,
man. Yeah, I think you said something there, Chris, about expecting God to think the way that I do. So yes, we agree with the principle, and the problem comes when we have these plans and we think, oh, that's right and that's good, so I want it. Surely God wants it, and because he must think, like, I want it. How can you not want this plan? Why have you got a different plan, Lord? And I think we've done subconsciously we've hit a problem, and that is that we've reduced God to our level, that he's become limited like us, he thinks like us. And the Bible's very clear, his ways are not our ways, he's so much bigger than us, and we've made our God too small.
But I wonder if you could help us reflect a little bit about, we've got this big God with this great big cosmic plan, bringing everything under the authority of Jesus, yet a lot of us are hurting because our plans haven't come to pass, and we're confused because things aren't working out the way we would want them to. What do you think? Is it just that God's big and he's out there, he's got a plan for us in Jesus, but it's all great and big? What would he say to us in the moments of our hardship and the disruption that we're feeling at the moment, do you think?
First of all, it is right and it is okay to feel disappointed, to be sad that our plans didn't work out. We often plan things because they seem like good things, and so when they don't work out, there is a loss in that, and it's okay to feel that loss. In fact, it's one of the things I love about the Bible, the book of Job, the Psalms. There's so many places where people are quite happy to say, this is really hard, Lord, and the Bible's not afraid to have that there for us, and we can read it. There's words there for us that say, yeah, that is a real experience. That's an okay experience to have. And with that, there's also so much comfort there. So I think that the thing is, we are going to feel that things are hard when we miss out on things. We are going to feel loss. We're going to grieve things. And then the thing we've got to remember is we can go to the one who loves us, this one who's got this great plan for us, for comfort. And I always think of those words of Jesus, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Words like that are there in the scriptures for us, that remind us what he's like, so we can go to him for our comfort, and we can be comforted even in our loss, even as we're seeking to trust him when our plans haven't gone well.
Deeds, what about for you? How would you reflect on what Chris has just been saying?
Yes, I think one thing that we're learning is in this situation, we're doing something which is very Christian. So we're actually getting consequences of a good decision. So obviously the coronavirus is something that's happened to us as a world, but we've made a decision of self-denial as a country in order to save lives, which is an incredibly Christian virtue, and denying ourselves. And sometimes when we do the right thing, often when we do the right thing, there are consequences which we're going to receive, which will change our plans and will affect us in bad ways. And it's not because we've done anything wrong that these difficult things are happening for us. And maybe that's something for us to keep working on. What we're doing now is we're putting off our own wants and denying ourselves for the sake of others. And we need to make sure while in our households, we're still doing that during lockdown, that we're developing that character, that virtue of self-denial for the sake of others and following Jesus daily.
I think that's where we might, I want to kind of draw things to a close in a second, but I want to land in terms of some of the practical things about what this actually means, because in our church family, there are people who have had enormous disruptions, long overseas trips planned for many years, have been taken off the table. Seeing family members overseas, elderly parents, can't happen anymore. A huge disruption to education and schooling, all sorts of things, which are, you know, job losses, risks of the financial risks going into the future, a whole lot of things like that. So I just wondered if maybe we could talk about some of those things directly. David, I'll come to you if it's okay. We've got a number, I mean, it's early in the year, but we've got a number of people who are even now working towards NCEA, and we've got people at university who've got continual assessment. What do you think, what we've heard from God's word as Chris has reflected on it for us, how do you think these truths land for our youth and our young adults, particularly in the areas of education and exams and assessment?
Well, it's really difficult for them at the moment to have that uncertainty, not knowing how it's going to go, not knowing what they're really supposed to do, and having to learn new ways to apply themselves and to learn. So I do really feel for each one of them in this situation. And it shows the complex of there are their own plans of what they want to achieve from exams and achieve for work and study. But these guys are also very aware of other people's plans for them, the expectations, the requirements of how well I'm supposed to do and what really matters. And then that leads into where they find their identity and their value. Is it in their exam results? Is it in what their peers think and how far up the ladder they are from their friends? And is it in what their parents think about how well they're doing at school? It's a really helpful time for them to see that actually the most important thing is to consider their identity in Jesus, and that they're accepted by him in faith. And rather than thinking about, well, what do these different things require of me? What does the Lord require of me at this time? How might I find purpose in following him? Totally not to mean that they should stop caring about working hard for their exams. Obviously, we should study hard and enjoy that, but I think that will be a helpful consideration, particularly with all this uncertainty before them.
Probably the same goes on the other side for parents as well, doesn't it? But some of us as parents need to remember that our kids' academic success isn't definitive of who they are as people. Indeed, their future is in the Lord's hands, and we should say, if the Lord wills, they will get this level of NCEA or this degree or this job or do this. And indeed, it's a helpful challenge to me as a parent to remember, actually, it's character, which is the Lord's most primary concern. Are my boys loving Jesus and trusting in him and seeking to follow him and be defined by him, not by my expectations or anyone else's, including their own? Chris, what about for you, mate, as you've reflected on this in terms of where it lands, particularly for people now?
Well, one of the things that I spoke about briefly, just touched on really in the sermon, was the fact that for a number of people, they've been looking forward to something, maybe like a holiday, something like that, maybe something that is, you know, you get through time sometimes by just thinking that's coming. Then it doesn't. Because of a lockdown, and that's really hard. And again, it's right to feel disappointed. It's right to feel sad about that, and that's okay. And for me, you know, there are things I can think of coming up later in the year that I was looking forward to that I'm pretty sure aren't going to happen now. And as I think about that, I want to think, well, it's okay for me to feel disappointed about it, and to work through that. But as I do, I want to ask myself, what am I disappointed about? What am I missing out on? There's an experience there. There's a good time. There's rest. There's something like that. And they're good things, missing out on them. But I do want to keep reminding myself at that point, as I am going to miss out on that, God is still the God who is in control. God is still the God who loves me and cares for me. And it's in his hands that these things are ultimately still happening. It's in his hands that I'm going to miss out on that thing, and he's still good. I might be annoyed, but he's still good. And with that, I'm going to want to think, in those things that I'm looking forward to about this holiday or about this event that I'm going to be part of or whatever, there are great things like rest and community and all those things. I still am looking forward to that, but in a greater way, because in Christ, in his great cosmic plan, that is our destination regardless. And sometimes it's just that I'm holding on a little bit too hard to the ones that are going to happen this year and not hard enough to the ones that are going to happen when Jesus returns. Again, it's fine to feel sad about missing out on them, but I do want to set my heart more on what those things really point to, which is the bliss that we will have when Jesus returns. And that is a real thing. And that's something that I want to keep setting my heart to when I feel that disappointment, knowing what I'm missing out on is small compared to what I'm getting.
So helpful, mate. It's that idea of lifting your eyes up, looking, fixing your eyes, as we heard last Sunday, isn't it? I reflected on the fact that in all of these things, we can absolutely see the good in it points us forward to that end time when Jesus returns. And we do have that wonderful cosmic plan that God's bringing everything under the Lord Jesus, and he's acted in Christ for our good in his death and resurrection. I'm also very aware that God is actually at work here and now in my life and in the lives of all those who call on him. He's not distant. He's not mean and nasty. He's not taking things away from us to punish us. But as our plans change, as he imposes his ways, which aren't our ways, on our lives, we're trusting that he's good. I also think we should be trusting that he is giving us opportunities to grow in godliness, to grow in Christian virtues, which we wouldn't have if these things didn't happen. I think we've said before, sort of, no one learns perseverance lying on the beach. It's only when you're going through hard times that actually you've got to learn, that you can learn certain Christian virtues. And so I'd encourage us, I think, and as I've reflected on what Chris has said, to see that actually in our disappointment, in our loss, it's not only showing us things about ourselves, it's not only giving us opportunities to showing us things about ourselves and our view of God, it's not only giving us opportunities to look forward and to run to him in comfort, it's actually giving us opportunities to weed out sin and to grow in godliness. That might mean that I actually go, you know what, this thing was an idol for me. I've got to make, I put way too much stock on this exam result, this business, this experience I was going to have. It's showing me wrong things. It might be giving me opportunities that I hadn't seen before to use money or time for good. I've suddenly got this free time now, which I wasn't going to have. I can now use this and redeploy these assets for something great. I'm very struck. We've just finished a small group of us reading Packer's Knowing God through this 4-week period. And towards the end of the book, he's got this beautiful illustration about a person going for a walk in the countryside on a beautiful day, like I imagine some of the days we've had over the past week. And he speaks of this man who is walking along. He's in good health. He's walking on a clear path, beautiful skies around him. And somebody comes up to him and says, lean on me. Take my arm, I'll help you. And the walker says, away with you. I don't need you. I'm enjoying all of this that is here. Well, you put that same man on that same path but now he is sick and he is tired and it is dark and there is a storm brewing. And then that helper comes and says, lean on me, take my arm. Well, suddenly the walker says, yes, I will lean on you and I will trust in you. And it was a picture of what the Lord is doing, that his great desire for us is to lean on him, to trust him, to love him, to depend on him. And maybe we can see that in this time of loss and change, of our plans not going the way we would want them to, that the Lord is actually giving us an opportunity to lean on him. There are certain circumstances that have happened, which mean now I wasn't going to lean on him in the same way 6 weeks ago, but now I'm going to lean on him and trust him and hold on to him and know his goodness and trust his plans, because I can see that he's making me more like Jesus as I lean on him and trust in him. I wonder, for me, that is one of the things that's just really stood out from what you've said, Chris, and opening up the book of James, opening up Job for us, that actually here is God's great plan for me, for all who trust in his son, to make us more like Christ and to fix our eyes on him. To that end, lads, I wondered if we might